And welcome to Wednesday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. So glad you could spend part of your day with us as we will look ahead to the Cleveland Browns game on Sunday as the Giants look to extend their five-game winning streak. He is Howard Cross. I'm Lance Meadow with you for the next 60 minutes. 201-939-4513. That is the telephone number. You could also chime in via Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. Ben McAdoo will address the media a little bit later today, so that is when he's going to update the injury report and so forth. So as of right now, no news on some of the offensive linemen that are dealing with some injuries coming out of the Bears game, but we will look ahead to the Browns contest. We'll take your phone calls. If you want to recap anything from that Chicago Bears contest as well, feel free to give us a ring over the next 60 minutes. But they get a Cleveland team, Howard, that comes in 0-11. This is actually the first time I was reading in Giants history that they're going up against a team that is in an 0-11 hole this late in the season. Previously, it was an 0-10 Dallas Cowboys team, but you have to go back to the 1960s for the last time the Giants have faced a team that has been struggling so much, and it looks like they're going to go with Josh McCown. But Howard, this is a team with so many issues across the board that the Giants are going up against today.
Yeah, they got a lot of issues. You know, it's a big task for them in Cleveland to try to keep their players motivated, to try to keep them involved. Even though they're all getting paid, it gets disparaging when you're playing and nothing seems to be going right. As for the Giants, it's one of those things where you got a group of guys who, you know, make the joke, they're like clerks. They should be bagging groceries. They shouldn't be playing football right now. And as mean as that sounds, that's what you got to treat the situation like. You have to go in and take advantage of all their you know, faults, all their weaknesses, which they have a lot of them. And you just got to pick and choose which one you want at the moment and exploit it. If you don't look at it that way, if you look at it as, oh, we have to be careful, this could be a trap game, then you're selling yourself short. You know, I saw something online where someone in Cleveland was saying, we want Bama. I mean, that's how bad they were feeling right now.
Well, you can relate to that. No wonder you brought that up as a reference. You brought up an interesting point, the trap game phrase, Howard. We hear that all the time, and I'm curious from a player's perspective, do the players look at it that way? Like, do they get concerned when they go up against a team that is yearning for a victory and is an 0-11 hole as maybe a dangerous team that will look to take extra chances and so forth? Does that play into the mindset at all?
I think that for me as a player, when I played, I think that's more of a media thing. Like I said, when I played and I saw a team that was struggling in something, and I'm like, coach, man, I know my ankle's sore, but I got to play this week. I'm going to get some stats. I'm trying to get my Pro Bowl bid together.
Pad the numbers a little bit. This is my week.
Yeah. This is my week to play. I need to be in the game. Like, there are going to be some flat backs. I'm going to catch a pass. You know, you don't even throw it to me.
A little bit of everything.
You're going to throw the ball to me this week. I might even make a tackle on kickoff. I mean, put me on a kickoff team. I want to do something to get on camera. And this is like, it's got to be the mentality of the players. No offense to the players on the other team. Yes, they get paid too. But when you're having a moment, you see somebody down, kick them while they're down. They'll get better next year. They'll get a high draft pick. Just move on.
And the weather, we don't know exactly what it's going to be like on Sunday.
Don't do that to the sideline reporter.
No. Well, I'm not going to put you in a bad mood.
You just did it.
Well, we don't have the conclusive weather breakdown, but the early weather breakdown was actually positive. I think you'll be pleased with this. That's why I bring it up.
Lance did that. Well, it didn't have nothing to do with anything. Why are you talking about
I was going to get to my point here. You didn't let me finish the complete thought.
Ahead.
The point was that when you get into maybe these cold weather situations, it's important for the running game to continue to get going, which it has done in the last two games from the Giants' perspective. Mm-hmm. And you always think about when you get into the playoffs, you may get into cold weather scenarios and so forth. The running game is such an important facet, and it seems over the last 2 weeks, Howard, while maybe late in the game things have fluctuated, for the most part, over 100 yards in the last two contests, and that has coincided with Rashad Jennings' return here.
Yeah, it's coincided a little bit with Rashad Jennings' return, but it's coincided mostly with the guys are just getting onto their blocks and staying. You know, I think that as the year goes on, you can ask any running back, it's important for the five guys in front of them to stay the five guys. If you can have some consistency in the front five, then you can start to figure out who's going to be able to get their blocks, which side they may be weaker to, meaning which side is blocking weaker to, or who has a sore hip or a sore shoulder. You start to be able to figure this thing out and, you know, get in where you fit in with the running. So I think every game, guys are starting to watch it, starting to pay attention. If you notice, the thing that's probably most impressive, if you're paying attention, and it has nothing to do with Rashard Jennings, is that the play will happen. There's nobody in the backfield. There's no penetration.
Up the middle or wherever, maybe.
And when there's none of that, then you're able to get started in your run. When there's penetration, the guys at your feet, if you can't make that first guy miss, or if that first guy's hitting you as soon as you touch the ball,
got no hope.
There's nothing.
It's a lost play.
But the offensive line is playing better, which makes Rashard look better.
Well, and I think one of the plays that showcases what you were just talking about, Howard, two games ago against the Bengals, when Rashad Jennings and Eli Manning, they changed the running play late in the contest, and mm-hmm. Jennings had an opportunity to think about, assess the situation, hesitate slightly, then go back to his right, find the hole for that big third down conversion. Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is when you have time and you're getting good protection up front, he doesn't have to dance even yeah. before the play starts.
You don't. If you can keep the guys that you're blocking at the line of scrimmage, if you can get push, it's awesome. If you can just keep them at the line of scrimmage, and the back can actually pick and choose, he can step up. He's not burying himself into the backs of the linemen now because he doesn't have to. When they're getting pushed back or if they're in the backfield with him, then that changes the way the running game looks.
201-939-4513. That is the telephone number. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter as well. He is Howard Cross. I'm Lance Meadow. For those of you watching on Twitter, we invite you over to Giants.com to watch the remainder of the program. So glad you could join us for Wednesday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live as we look ahead to the matchup with the Cleveland Browns on Sunday. Ben McAdoo addressing the media a little bit later on today, so no new injury news on that front. But we're going to open up the phone lines. You want to recap the Bears game. You want to talk about some offensive trends and so forth. Everything up for discussion as we take you up till 1 p.m. Eastern. Let's open up the phone lines. Scott is in D.C. He gets us going. Scott, what's happening?
Hey, gentlemen, happy Thanksgiving to you. I hope
you
enjoy your day off tomorrow if you're going to be able to take the day off. I wanted to make three quick comments, special teams, offense, and defense. I'm really disappointed with the way the special teams are playing. I understand it was windy the other day. Guess what? It's been windy in New York for years and years and years. I think we got a kicker who cannot put it in the end zone on kickoffs.
Well, let me address that before you go on into the kicker not being able to put it in the end zone. In the years and years and years in the past, the wind blew from end zone to end zone, right? Now the wind blows across the stadium at some ridiculous
swirl or whatever you want to call it.
It's not even a swirl. It's horrible. It's like I've never seen it. Like, it hasn't really been windy in MetLife yet. So you got to see what it's going to look like if there are a lot of windy games.
Hey, guess what? They call Chicago the Windy City.
And
this guy
it's
has
different.
Got no leg left.
It's
and I'm not just talking about the kicking. I'm talking about the muffs. I'm talking about each of the last four games where they let up long kickoff returns to the Rams, long kickoff or punt returns to the Bengals, long kickoff returns to the Bears. They're just not playing well, and no one seems to be accountable for that.
Well,
if you think the special teams are performing up to par, then I disagree.
I can explain it to you so you can understand it.
I understand the results.
Actually, you think you – well, this is what I think. Let me tell you what I think, and then you tell me what you think. They had a guy who kicked the ball, 8 to 9 yards deep in the end zone every time. So they built their special teams and everything around the 8 to 9 yards deep. They had basically they always kicked for a touchback, and that's just the way they played it. Some teams kick for trying to catch a team around the 5 or whatever, and
or to
see,
get them to return it.
Get
there
to return
capacity.
It. But the way they were built was to let's do the touchback, let's start playing defense right away. If they don't make it into the end zone, then we'll deal with that. So now when Robbie comes in, Robbie can get it 3 or 4 yards deep. He's not going to kick it out of the back of the end zone, especially if there's a lot of wind. So the team is built for one kicker, but that kicker's not here anymore. So unless you can change all the guys on the team at once, you got to coach up and start to deal with what that's doing. That's team speed. That's, different players coming in and out. That's also, trying to figure out how many starters you want to risk playing when you got to play them for the rest of the game. So that's what you're looking at.
Okay, well, since only 46 players get jerseys each week to play, they've got to be on the field, and if they don't have the right personnel, then they got to coach them up. But my point is that the results are not up to par.
Okay.
On defense, I think the results are not up to par on offense either. They're 31st in the league rushing the ball. If you want to say 80 yards or 87 yards by a back in one game is an improvement, well, that's great. In my mind, they are not rushing the ball. They had 5 straight punts to end the last game. Any one of those possessions could have salted that game away, and they couldn't do it. And to make matters worse, Eli threw two balls into the guts or hands of defenders during that five straight punt streak. So that game could have easily gone the other way. It was a one-score game. They almost tossed it away. I'm glad they didn't. Okay. That offense has got to improve, and they've got the 31st-ranked defense they're going against this week. It sure would be a good time for the first time this season to put 30 points up on the board. Last thing I want to say is I hear a lot about how important it is to have hurries and pressures and getting the quarterback off his mark. My view is that sacks are more important. Think about it. The only result that comes from a sack is the down is over. I guess there can be a sack fumble, and miraculously the offense picks up the fumble and runs it for a first down. But basically when you have a sack, the play is over. And the chance of getting a first down on that series is vastly reduced. Whereas if you have a hurry, the result can be a touchdown. If you have a hurry, the result can be a first down. So I'd much rather see the Giants get out of the cellar in the sack statistic, start doing more of what JPP is doing, and, geez, $13 million a year for OV. I'd like to see him get some numbers. Paul Dottino always says it's all about production.
Well, Vernon production. Has – well, hold on, Scott. Vernon has a sack in each of the last three games. So, I mean, a lot of
and,
the things
and
that –
And three for the year?
Well, but my
is,
point
this
is –
This is now December. This is practically December. The season is almost over.
Let me tell you why you're arguing with him. You're arguing with a guy who he wants to complain about this, so you have to listen to him complain.
Oh, I am. No, I'm just throwing
it in. But here's what's really happening.
Yeah.
The number one red zone defense in the NFL, they stop guys from scoring constantly. He's not admitting to them to stopping the guys scoring. Knocking guys down over and over again, hits add up. When hits add up, turnovers happen. You have to hit the quarterback. Sacking him is great, stops the play, but you got to hit him. He's got to be hurried. When he's hurried,
well,
he turns over.
They get hit when they get sacked.
Sometimes, yes. Okay, I got
well,
you.
How
but
do you
what
get
I'm
a sack without hitting the
remember,
quarterback?
Remember, I'm telling you this. I coach my son up all the time on this, so I'll help you with this. Play your spot. Make your picket fence. Make the play. They're making plays. I understand what you're saying. They're better than they've been in, I don't know, over almost a decade. I don't really mind you complaining about it, and I appreciate it, but you are on the wrong page with this team. Team's headed in a positive direction. They're doing a lot of good things, and despite the things that are going wrong, they are still winning. In the past few years, what you've watched was teams folding up and can't figure out how to get it. If they were like, if you're in the locker room giving a speech right now, they'd be like, oh, man, we're doing terrible. They're not doing terrible. They're doing great. They're in second in the division. They're in the top 10 in the NFL right now, probably top five in the NFL of teams that nobody wants to play. They're playing pretty good, and they're going to continue to get better week in and week out. They got to play this game. This is going to be a great game for them to get a few more things better. As far as all the stuff you're saying, totally understand, totally respect your view. I'm sorry that you don't feel positive about it, but they're playing great right now.
I'm positive about the improvement they've shown. We've had, you know, 5 years of losing lousy football, and it appears they're starting to turn it around. But the fact of the matter is they've got a bottom half defense right now. They've improved. Yes, you're absolutely right. The improvement has gotten them out of the cellar to up to the bottom half of the league in defense. I'd like to see more improvement. Try and be positive.
All right, Scott.
Go Giants.
Thank you very much.
Go Giants. Win this week. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, Scott. Appreciate the phone call. I mean, statistically,
So let me add to what I'm saying to him. If you go to all the top defenses in the league, are they the top teams in the league right now? I think maybe two of them maybe. And the rest of them have great defense, but they can't score. So you got to have like a mix. Your team has to play together. And I get what he's saying, but too many positive things going on to like try to – pick on the negative things. You can pick on something negative every game.
The most important statistic to me to evaluate the Giants' defense, Howard, is the fact that they are 11th in points per game allowed.
Yeah.
They're giving up 20 points per game. So when Scott, and I understand what you were pointing out, he's bringing up some issues, and there are some issues, but there has been dramatic improvement over the last few weeks. And if your defense ranks in the top half of the league in points per game allowed, then that means that you're doing enough. You may be bending sometimes, Howard, but it's not breaking more often than
I think it's even more than that, because the Giants have given up some kickoff returns and punt returns. They've put the team in the red area over and over again. The defense goes right back out on the field sometimes after a turnover, and they stand up and make plays. The defense may be a top 10 defense if they weren't catching a short field all the time. So for me, I look at all the positives. The defense is playing pretty strong right now.
And then in terms of the pass rush, this was a defense that had 4 sacks in the first 5 games. And now you look at what they've done over the last 5 games, they have a total of 14 sacks.
Yeah.
So 14 of their 18 sacks have come in the last 5 contests.
It doesn't matter, because they want production all year long.
Well, they want production all year long, but here's the thing. You've got to, and you know this from playing in the league and following the league, Howard, you have to take into consideration also recent history. You could go back and look at what happened in weeks 1 through 4, mm-hmm. but you also need to notice there has been a dramatic disparity between then and what the Giants are producing now.
I don't look at it that way. I look at it like every game you're supposed to be improving, and the Giants have been improving all
That's
the way
fair
through.
Too.
And I think that you want to be hitting your, as we would say, hitting your stride right when it gets to December, going into the playoffs. And if the Giants can continue to do that and hit their stride going into the playoffs and make the playoffs and go into it, I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but if they can continue to hit their stride against the Pittsburghs, Dallases, and then the Washingtons later on in Detroit, if that happens and they start to win some of those, you could be talking, you know, something different.
Well, the NFL is all about timing.
Yep.
It's who you play, when you play them, and how the team is clicking at that time.
It's hitting your stride late in the season. You can hit your stride early in the season and then fall off. The Giants have done that a few years. Now they're hitting their stride going to this part of the season. I like it.
And one other point that I wanted to bring up based on the last call, the Giants do rank 31st in rushing yards per game, but just like the sacks, Howard, last 2 games over 100 yards, last 2 games at least 4 yards per carry. And here's the other thing, and you pointed this out at the beginning of the show, the negative runs are down.
Yes.
That, to me, is the biggest difference in this rushing attack.
Well,
if you look at all the negative runs earlier in the season, they've been eliminating the majority of those now.
Yeah, keeping the middle clean so the guys can get started, keeping the backs from being hit in the backfield, that helps out a lot.
All right, let's head back to the phone lines as we move along here on Wednesday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. So glad you could spend part of your day with us. Adam is in New York. Adam, what's happening?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Very good.
Doing well, Adam. How's things with you?
Good. I'm actually a Giants fan.
Well, most Giants fans call into this program.
Caller, I guess.
He's a Giants fan. He's just, you know, he's getting ready. He's getting ready for the family to come over for Thanksgiving. He's not feeling the best right now. I know that feeling sometimes.
Stress is getting to him, I guess.
Yeah, turkey, the in-laws, it gets a little crazy.
Yes.
Got to hide the good liquor. You know what I'm saying?
Pick the right cabinet too. Yeah.
Yeah, I actually wanted to tag along about the running game. I was wondering.
Sure.
Obviously, it's been getting better the past few weeks with the. Yards per carry going up for, and Jennings taking most of the carries, doing well. But also, I was wondering about Shane Vereen and him coming back, how that would affect things, in your guys' opinion, given how Perkins is getting a larger role, especially in the passing game. If Vereen comes back, what do you think would happen?
It depends on how healthy he is. I mean, I think the Vereen injury wasn't a leg injury. It was an upper body injury. So if he comes back and he's able to condition enough to play, then he could be dynamic. But it all depends, again, I don't know, arm, shoulder, whatever.
Yeah, it was an arm injury, yeah.
Arm injury, whatever it was, that being able to pick up a blitzer in pass protection,
right.
Catching the ball out of the backfield and trying to remember not to put it in the weak arm, you know, all those things come into play. And I'm not a trainer, so I don't know where he is in his rehab at this point. But if he was healthy enough to come back and strong enough, I mean, he'd be an addition, if not an upgrade, because the thing that you don't think about, even with Perkins and Jennings, is that Vereen would come back with fresh legs.
Right.
So you're going to get a burst out of a guy.
Not when as worn down.
You know, he's going to come back with a burst that, you know, you've been playing all year, you're beating yourself up, and then somebody comes in with some fresh legs. They look a little different when you see them.
Right. Plus, he has hands in the red zone, unlike the other. They don't really use the other running backs that way,
yep.
Like they do Vereen.
Yep.
Also, I was wondering about the offensive line and how you guys think they're holding up on the right side with the run blocking, with Bobby Hart especially. Seems like a second-year guy, a late-round pick, doing really well, holding down the starting job at the right tackle spot. I was just wondering if you guys have seen anything different recently and how he's holding up.
I think Bobby Hart's making himself some money. I've said that earlier in shows, and I try to explain to people. Like, if you come in and you get a chance to play, and then you won't relinquish the spot that you took, you're making yourself some money. And I think the kid's doing a good job. He does have some things he can work on, but he's able to block. He's got a little bit of a nasty streak to him. You can see him talking to guys after plays and guys getting in his face because he's getting after them, and then they don't like it. Like, who's this kid? And like, that's what you want to see. You want to see your players, you know, doing their job. You want to see other players getting upset because that guy's beating them. And you want to see, you know, see some production. That the biggest thing you want to see, or you don't want to hear his name called.
Yeah.
and you don't hear his name called a lot. That means things are going pretty well.
In terms of the penalties, too, you don't hear his name come up a lot. And Mike Solari, the offensive line coach, when Newhouse was healthy, he was asked about Hart, and he said, Hart's staying with the starting gig because right now he's one of our best five offensive linemen. So
he's got
I think
good.
That says a lot.
He's young, like I said, fresh legs, hadn't been beat down for a long time, hadn't been starting. That means got those fresh feet. He can move quick, and he's willing to learn. I mean, not that Newhouse isn't, but he's willing to learn. He's young. He's excited to be in there, and he wants to learn and get better.
And Newhouse isn't an old guy either. He's only 28, and he's looked pretty good at left guard. From what I could tell, I'm not an expert, but he looks like he's holding it down pretty good at left guard, too. So I guess that says a lot about what Bobby Hart's doing, that he's
Absolutely, Adam, and appreciate the phone call. I think it also says a lot about Newhouse's versatility and the fact that they can move him around, because remember, he was also used as a tight end in the jumbo package.
Well, the thing about a player, especially an offensive lineman, you need to be that utility guy. You need to be able to play, if you can, all five positions. I know he's playing basically four of the positions. You know, the only thing he hasn't done is snap the ball. That was the Kevin Booth of offensive linemen.
Jack of all trades.
He played all five positions from tackle to tackle. He snapped the ball at center. That made this kid so valuable to the team that, you know, hey, well, we got somebody who can come in. We're going to take Booth out. Well, isn't he playing well? He's playing really well, but he can play all the positions, so we kind of need him in case something goes wrong. And then when he was playing, if somebody got hurt, they'd slide him over to make sure they could strengthen up that spot. Newhouse might become that guy. I don't think he plays center. I don't think he snaps the ball, but I would learn pretty quickly if I could.
Well, and part of that rationale, Howard, is the fact that you typically have only two backup offensive linemen that are dressing every game. So you have to have those two guys be able to play three different positions and then some.
It's crazy because when you think about going into a game, you have two, maybe three guys that you try to keep in. The reason why you have to keep two to three is because one guy definitely has to back up the center. The tackles you can get, the guards you can get, but somebody definitely has to back up the center. If something happens to the center, things get a little crazy. So you have to, like, you start shuffling. Center makes all the calls. He's the guy that touches the ball on every play. He's as important as a quarterback is, and you don't really think of it that way, but that's the guy that you have to be sure that you got a backup for him. The tackles, you need a tackle that can back up. Usually the guy who backs up the center can back up the guard. So you have two to three guys all the time.
And that's why they called up Shane McDermott from the practice squad, because Brett Jones was inactive, and he's the backup center to Weston Richburg. As you mentioned, the last thing you want is to throw a guy in there who's never played, and then you have all those unforced errors.
Yes, you have a lot of them. You have a lot of missed calls, so to speak.
And on that topic, before we get back to the phone lines, what Ben McAdoo brought up on his conference call, Howard, he was asked why Larry Dinnell was inactive, but there have been other tight ends that certainly have moved ahead of him on the depth chart. But he also said it's much easier for a lineman to move to tight end than a tight end to move to the offensive line. So they needed the extra offensive lineman active, essentially, was what he was saying.
That was very polite for him to say that. But the reality of it is that Larry Dinnell has, you know, fumbled the ball a couple times when he got hit. His blocking, you know, has been suspect. And those two things, you got to be able to do something. You know, he is a definite upgrade in the passing game. It's hard to cover him. But if he jumps in the air and he fumbles the ball, or if he takes a hit or lets the ball go, then that's an issue. So, you know, McAdoo had to weigh some of the positives versus some of the negatives. So these young guys, you know, Adams is coming in.
Especially him.
You know, he's coming in. He's starting to block. You know, once he starts to block and he's playing special teams and he's catching the ball, okay, now he's getting two or three things in a row. Will Ty, as much as you think that he's an okay receiver and he's just you get the most you can get out of him, the most you get out of him is decent stuff. He's starting to mix it up a little bit better in the run game, which is hard for him to do because they're asking him to be a lead blocker. And I'm sure at Stony Brook, he wasn't facing some Pro Bowl, you know, middle linebacker coming through the hole at him. So yeah. I think that, you know, that kind of stuff has, unfortunately for Larry Donnell, put him to the sideline. Because if you're not the guy who can come in the game and hold the edge at tight end, then the few plays they're going to throw the ball to, if they throw it to you three times in the game, those three plays aren't worth the 40 plays or the 20 plays that they need you to block. And that's basically what's happening.
Are you saying the America East does not produce Pro Bowl linebackers? Is that what you're saying?
Is that a conference?
That is a conference.
From the SEC.
I know outside of the SEC, it's so hard to realize there's other football conferences.
Big Ten, maybe? I'm trying
America
to
East, Big Ten, SEC. Okay. I just wanted to make sure you were well-rounded in terms of your knowledge.
East.
Yes, the
okay.
America East.
Okay.
Yes,
got
just
that.
So you know. In case that's brought up ever again in the future.
You may
be knowing all the schools and so forth in a little bit. Who knows?
2 years.
There we go. 201-939-4513. He's Howard Cross. I'm Lance Widdow. Thanks so much for joining us for Wednesday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. Let's head back to the phone lines. Jeremy is in New Jersey. Jeremy, what's happening?
Jeremy, did you know about the America East?
He chuckled. You got a chuckle out of him. Yeah, I'm on an island on this program, apparently.
Go ahead, Jeremy.
So I wanted to ask a question about Devon Kennard.
Okay.
So it seems like they're trying to do anything to just get him, like, in the lineup, like, just exploit his strengths. I even saw him at defensive tackle, I think, a couple of times. Like, what is the deal with that? It seems like they're not sure where they want to put him. So that because they put him on the outside and he gave up a touchdown there. So they put him near the line a lot after that. I don't, like, do you guys have any thoughts on that? Like,
I don't think it's so much they're putting him in different spots. I think that it's where he's – where he fits in sometimes. It's not that some teams you have one guy that plays one spot and he's there the entire time. You kind of see him, you kind of forget that he's there. Kennard can rush the passes. They've put him rushing from the outside. They put him rushing from the inside. In theory, he can cover the tight end maybe or the back going into the flat. But, you know, he's not going to cover a back on a wheel route when he goes out and then goes up the field because the back's going to outrun him eventually if the quarterback has time to get rid of the ball. So it when you see him moving around, that's because he's one of the best and most talented players to be put in that position. And that's what they're doing. It's not because they don't know what to do with him. They're just trying to get the best use out of him every time they get a chance. And it's a good thing to see a guy be put into a lot of different situations. That means that guy can be productive in all situations. From the defensive tackle, I've seen him get pressure on a quarterback hurries, and I think maybe even a sack or something, got part of a sack. So, like I said, he can be put in a lot of different spots.
Well, similar to what we were speaking about with respect to Newhouse, it shows his versatility. And the other thing to keep in mind, Jeremy, is this goes back to how he was utilized in college. At USC, he worked with about five or six different defensive coordinators because they changed coaching staff so much that he was on the line in a 3-4, and then they changed to a 4-3. He was standing up. So he moved around, and I think the Giants are just duplicating that, essentially.
Yeah, you know, and this is the first year, I mean, knock on wood because I don't want to throw him under the bus here. This is one of the first years he's been healthy from the beginning to the end. So as long as he's healthy, they get – you know, when you're healthy, they can use you more. When you're not healthy, then they're like, man, it'd be nice if we could get another guy to rush the passer. It'd be nice if we could get a guy who could help set the edge out there. So by being healthy, he's able to do a few more of those things.
And they can see that in practice, so therefore they can apply that to the game.
Yep.
Right. Do you think he can be effective as, like, a true cover linebacker, though, like, rather than, like, only being a pass rusher? Because I see him line up, like, outside a lot just to pass rush. But do you think he's good, like, in coverage?
The true cover guys are the guys who play inside. The two.
So, like, yeah.
The Mike and the Will. I've seen him play a lot of positions. I don't really see him play Mike backer that much. And it's not anything more than I think they usually have somebody that they feel strong enough to play the mic position, and they can use him in other spots. He's been used in three or four other spots, but as a true, like, you know, waiting in the middle of the field for the tight end to come through and all that stuff, I don't know if he's played that a lot in college or if that's his spot. I think he's built like you know, the Carl Bankses and the Lawrence Taylors yeah. of the world, a big, tall, you know, outside guy who can actually put his hand in the dirt and come.
Yeah. All right, thanks, guys.
All right, Jeremy, no appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for chiming in. All right, let's continue to work through the phone lines here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. We got Jay in Connecticut. Jay, what's happening?
How you guys doing today?
Great. How you doing, Jay?
I'm doing great. Honestly, I'm doing great. It's a great day to be a Giants fan. I can honestly say it. I would say it's a great year to be a Giants fan. I feel good about that. Just calling to bring a little positive energy to the show. You guys' face is turning up a little bit. So I said, let me bring some more smiles. I feel like, okay, at this point, this team can only go up. A lot of young talent, offensively, defensively. People get caught up in the numbers. Mm-hmm. Which is really not what you want to do. I thought it was about winning games. If you look at last year, we had a top eight offense, and we don't win seven games. So who cares about the numbers? Let's just go out here, keep getting these wins, and I think that's just the best way to go about it. I'm extremely excited at this point, being a Giants fan, considering these last four seasons we've been having mediocre play, but I wouldn't consider this team mediocre at all. And as far as the defense, I think they don't get enough credit. They deal with a lot of the things that the offense is dealing with, like lack of a run game. That's going to fall on your defense because that just means there's more snaps for your defense. That's more plays
time
for your defensive
possession.
Players to play. So, I mean, we're locking up in the red zone. We're not giving up touchdowns, and we're winning. So I'm going to leave you guys with that. Just wanted to bring a little positive energy. You guys keep doing what you're doing. I love the show. It keeps me right in the state of mind I need to be in. And let's go Giants.
All right, Jay.
There you go.
Appreciate the call.
All positive. He can see the light. You know, that's one of those things you hear that glass half empty, glass
half full. Yeah.
He's got the half full glass. I'm more of a, you know, there's something in the glass guy. I'm like, I don't do half empty, half full. I'm like, if there's something in the glass,
so there could be
a
drop and you're content
I'm good.
With that.
I mean, there's something in the glass.
You'll make something out of that drop.
I got it.
Optimistic viewpoints all around here. The injury report just came out for the Giants. Now, we don't have in terms of participation. That's going to be updated later. But here's what the Giants injury report looks like heading into Sunday's game against Cleveland. Dwayne Harris nursing a wrist injury. Brett Jones, the calf. Roger Lewis is in concussion protocol. Marshall Newhouse, his knee. JPP, knee. And Justin Pugh, knee. No major surprises here, Howard. I mean, most of these injuries we knew about. JPP, though, with the knee injury, that's pretty new. He hasn't been appearing on the injury report over the last few weeks. Other than that, though, everybody pretty much is related to an injury coming out of at least the last two games.
Yeah, I mean, it's late in the season. I think if they did the injury report, like, fully, there'll be a lot of names on the injury report. You're not healthy after your first real practice. That starts back in July or August, whenever you come to camp. You're just banged up. I mean, it's a tough game. You're running into people full speed. You get stepped on. And I'm telling you, Harris, I'm just going to say this. The kid's like the Walking Dead. I mean, every week I'm on the sideline. I'm talking. I go over there and say, hey, look, man, what just happened to Harris? Hey, look, he's questionable, man. I don't know if he's coming back in the game. And I go on the air and I tell Bob and Carl, you know, Dwayne Harris, he hurt this and it's not going to happen. And we don't know who's going to return for the rest of the game. So they're getting ready to punt. Dwayne Harris walks out, taping his wrist up, turn the tape off and throwing it to the side and goes back onto the field. The other day, they almost carted him off the – like, they were getting ready to tape him to a board. And he goes to the locker room, like, well, Dwayne Harris, we think he may have broken his back.
That was the Rams game in London.
Right at the end of the first half. It looks really bad. I don't know what's going to happen. He comes back out. I'm like, oh, this dude's the Walking Dead, man. I'm like, either that or he's got, like, a clone, and he just goes back and taps another clone to come back out. He's like an android or something, like Westworld. It's incredible.
Wow, look at this. The pop culture references to the HBO shows.
He keeps coming back over and over and over again. I'm like, oh.
But it's true. It's been a trend this season.
Every season.
Yeah.
I've seen this
one specifically, though. It feels like every week.
I saw him catch a pass last year, and it looked like I'm like, okay, he's done. I said, oh, man, so I wonder who else we got. I'm trying to look through who's going to come out. He goes into the locker room. They two guys are helping him in. He comes jogging back out, goes right back onto the field. I'd never seen a guy like that before. And, like, when he's my age, man.
You don't even want to envision that.
Man, I don't even know.
I remember that Rams game that you were referring to when they were going to bring the stretcher out and they eventually brought the card out. I mean, he said that he had trouble breathing initially when he took the hit, and then he was back for the second half.
Went right in, Westworld.
They repaired the parts, and then voila.
It comes back
that,
out.
No, it speaks volumes about his toughness.
Forget that you got hit that hard. Go kill him.
It is. It's remarkable. Sometimes it gets overlooked, but with respect to Dwayne Harris, all
I'm
he's been through
see
this
if
season.
Anthony Hopkins is on our he must be on our medical staff. You're okay, right? Yeah. Yeah, I'm okay. Go ahead, kid. You're good. Go
yes. In case anybody's lost, Howard referring to the HBO program. just for those of you who may not have time in between your Giants research and so forth for a little viewing.
I started watching it. I'm into it.
You're
now.
I can tell. I'm I know of the program. I haven't watched it yet.
I've totally
gotten
thought
a variety
I could do
of
it
recommendations.
Without it. I could do without it. Then something yes. happened the other night. I was like, okay, I'm in.
And then you're into it. Okay. All right. So you're the latest one to give it a pat on the back. With that being said, let's head back to the phone lines here at 201-939-4513. We'll also get to your tweets a little bit later on at hashtag Giants Chat. Ty is in Maryland. Ty, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hi, hey, Ty. What's happening?
All right. I got a new nickname for you, Mr. Meadows.
Oh.
Okay, so how do you like this? I'm just going to flip your name and just call you Meadowlands.
Okay. All right.
That refers to a wasteland, a swamp.
A wasteland. Ahead. Oh, wow. That's nice. I thought he was good. Wow. Way to spin it positive.
I'm sorry.
I was going more towards the – wasn't there, what, the Globetrotter with the
Metal
first
Lark.
Name? Metal Lark. All right. Yeah, well, no, I was thinking maybe you'd go in that direction.
He wasn't naming you after an athlete.
Oh, okay.
He was naming you after the swamps.
So much
of Jersey.
For giving me some credit for my
I'm
athletic
the swamps,
limited prowess.
The swamps of Jersey, which used to be like, you know, pig farms. Swamps. This, you know, this used to be all pig farms, but I've read my history on the air.
I can tell.
Don't
boy,
worry about it.
Ty,
what question
between
you
HBO
I'm sorry,
and the
Ty.
Meadowland Wasteland? We're
sorry,
covering
Ty.
It all here on
I'm
Big
sorry,
Blue Kickoff
Ty.
Live. Ty, thanks so much for setting Howard up for that. Greatly appreciate it.
That was a soft
no, yes. no problem. No problem. I just wanted to say a few things, but before I say, I just wanted to answer Cross's questions. I do know about the American League. I think if I'm correct, Donnell came out of Grambling State, if I'm correct.
Yeah.
You're talking about Larry Donnell, yes, correct.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so what I wanted to talk about today was two things. Number one, I wanted to see a little bit more of Victor Cruz getting involved in the game, a couple more balls being thrown his way. You know, I know he's a big play, explosive kind of guy, but, you know, before there was Odell Beckham, before there was Sterling, there was Cruz. You know, he was the guy. And he's been a staple in the organization for years. I hope he retires as a Giant. I just want to see him get a few more balls thrown his way this season. You know, he can contribute a whole lot more than he's been contributing right now. So I just wanted to see him get a lot more balls. And the second thing I wanted to talk about is, you know, not to downgrade the Cleveland Browns or anything like that, especially
but
with JPP's injury that I just heard you guys talking about. What do you think is the possibility for, you know, maybe some other defensive linemen like I think his name is Okwara and Odighizuwa possibly, and maybe even Kerry Wynn possibly getting some more snaps on the defensive line to maybe give them guys a breather?
Well, it's two things. First off, let me address Cruz. I think you're getting about as all Victor has to give at this present time. Not that he's not getting enough targets or anything, but I think, you know, almost 2 years off of his legs, off of real competition, he's building his body back into, trying to build his body back into as close to the player that he was before he was hurt. So you're seeing him get a little bit better, more explosive plays, you know, week in and week out. You're seeing another big play, and that's because it's taking him a little, in some cases, they may be playing a player over the top. In some cases, it might just take him a little longer to get off of a guy or something, but every time he gets an opportunity to make a play, he's like 90% of the time he's making that play. As far as giving guys a rest, I think from my perspective, and again, I'm a different player than most players that play in the league, I don't want to sit down if I'm playing. I never want to break my rhythm. I want to be involved, engaged. I want to be out there playing. It's kind of like, you know, not playing basketball forever and all of a sudden someone gives you a ball and tells you to dribble. If you don't dribble every day for a lifetime and they stop you from dribbling, just a couple days off and you start to – the handle's not as what it used to be. or like, you know, laying off of a fight. You're in your fight game and you're working on it, but you lay off a couple of years and they ask you to come back. It doesn't look the same when that glove is flashing in your face. So I'm more of the along the lines of, hey, if I'm able to play, let me play. And in theory, we will play so well early that my rest will come because I'm letting other guys play because I'm getting the break because we're up. That would be my theory on that.
Okay.
All right.
All right, Tom. All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, you got it. Appreciate the phone call. And JPP and Vernon are up there. We've talked about this a lot on this program in terms of defensive linemen. They're 1 and 2 in the NFL right now in terms of snaps compared to any other defensive lineman.
Well, that again, comes back to how many plays they're having to play. Like I said, coming on the field, defending the red zone, they're doing that. They're up there with, hey, you go a 3 and out, the defense comes back on the field. They're up there. And I'm going to tell you that this is something the fans don't get to see. During the training camp and preseason, and I'd be here to do these shows and do some other stuff for the team, I'd go out and I'd watch practice. And every practice, those two guys would run after practice. Every practice, when everybody else is doing whatever, they would go out, go on, and they just run gassers. And I was thinking to myself, kind of interesting to see your two, you know, big-time defensive ends getting extra work together. I said, that's kind of funny. And now that you're going through the season, it's like, hey, well, thank God they were doing that, because now they're getting more, they're ready to go. That's what I tell my kids, and I always refer to my kids, so forgive me. But I tell my kids this. It's like, your training is you digging a hole or digging a well. It's like, it's a tank. The more training you do, the deeper the well, the bigger the tank, so that you'll have something to draw on when times get tough. And these guys, they kept digging and kept digging, kept making a bigger and bigger tank, and the season's going on, so they still have something in the tank. You see JPP, they pull him up off the ground. He looks like he's limping, and all of a sudden he goes in and makes another play. So that's the whole tank theory. You need to have the tank. You need to dig deep. You need to go farther in your training than you think you can go, because when the season comes along, the season's a reward for what's happening. And even if it's a tough season, you're rewarded with all the hard work you put in, all the pain that you gave and you submitted yourself to. This is the reward. And then, it culminates into some great plays, some big time plays. It also culminates in, hey, we've been on the field for 60 plays. I got 65 left.
I can dig deeper. Yeah, I have more.
I got more room.
The conditioning is there. And you don't see them wearing down in the fourth quarter, as you mentioned. No. They are still making plays. I mean, look at the last game against the Bears. Yeah. JPP and Vernon all over the place on Jay Cutler.
And that's the thing that you know, young players, if you're thinking about it, young players, if you're listening, that's the thing that may be missing because of the collective bargaining agreement or whatever. You get your workouts again. You go as deep as you need to go. And then when you get to as deep as you think you need to go, that's when you go a little bit deeper, because when the season comes and you need to call on it, it'll be there.
Even though the team is not mandated to practice X amount of times, you on the side can go take care of business. And it's interesting you brought that up, Howard, because I remember Spags talking about this right before the season started. He said when Vernon came over, he started to run. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden, JPP noticed it, and everybody else on defense noticed it, and it became a pack.
Yeah.
Little by little, the pack grew in terms of the running and conditioning that they would do. So it doesn't surprise me that you're right. Now they're seeing the rewards of what started right when Vernon arrived.
That extra training that you're doing, kind of like quote-unquote off the books, because you can only do so much time, and they want you to get off the field and whatever other rules that are out there now. And you're like, okay, before we go, let me try to get 8 gassers. And you're doing this stuff for yourself. And it's not like you're out there jogging. You're running. And they were running hard. I was like, man, these guys are killing themselves. But then I realized, I'm like, they're just digging that tank for when they need it later in the season. And now you see it.
Earlier you were talking about Victor Cruz based on what the caller brought up. And one thing I wanted to throw out, his numbers may not jump off the page, but he's making important catches. Mm-hmm. He's making the key ones count. You look at, he got the go-ahead touchdown against the Cowboys in Week 1, Howard, that was big. Mm-hmm. The Saints game the following week, he catches the third down down the right sideline, runs out the clock. They don't give it back to Drew Brees. And then, how about last week? He runs for the 48-yard gain after Eli Manning scrambles out of the pocket.
Yep.
So he's making his limited opportunities on paper, I think, count.
I think, what people are expecting is, like, when Victor came out, when Victor finally got to the field, like you saw him in that preseason against the Jets, He goes on IR, then he comes back the next season. Guys were afraid of Victor Cruz when he was running routes. They didn't know which way he was going to go. If he caught the ball and you missed him, he was taking it to the house. So that's the Victor Cruz that everyone wants to see. His legs aren't there yet. I hope that they get back to there, but in order for you to be there, you got to be there at full speed, like I said, digging that tank and doing that all the time. I think that's where he's working. I think that's where he's probably heading, and I'd be interested to see as the year goes on, you know, where he's going to finish up with explosive plays. If you're not afraid of him, because you got a double, if you have a double Odell, somebody else has to show up, and he's been doing it a little bit here, a little bit there. Shepard's doing it.
Oh yeah,
and it just shows up a little bit at a time. But when he gets the ball in his hands, he's still dynamic. He's just not able to get that one last gear yet. He's working on it.
Other players showing up, very noticeable in the Bears game, considering Beckham was quiet from a statistical standpoint. 201-939-4513, that is the telephone number. Let's head back to the phone lines. Stephanie is in West Virginia. Stephanie, what's happening?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon to you.
Same to you. And all the other Giant fans. I want to talk about the Giants making the playoffs. I think this team can make the playoffs. You know, the defense is playing much better. The running game is coming around, and the receivers are playing outstanding, considering, yes, they may have had drop passes. I believe we have three of the top corners in the NFL. Our D-line is one of the best, especially in the NFC next to Seattle. And I think we have one of the top three receiving core, three-headed monster at receiving core. Now, I do think we need to – somebody probably already chimed in on running the football more because the cold weather's a factor. Yes, I would like to see Dakwa and the rookie Perkins get the ball more. Mm-hmm. I would also like to see a little tweaking of the offense. I would like to see Jarrell Adams involved more in the offense, but why not have Rashad Jennings – sometimes run down the field like a tight end and catch a pass. Okay, I don't think that will hurt. We need our defense. We need to protect the defense. I also think Landon Collins is should be a finalist for Defensive Player of the Year. And I think McAdoo needs to open the playbook, you know, just tweak some things, you know, especially in the last minute. Stop kicking the ball. Stop putting the ball off. And putting out defense on the field, even though I know defense wins championships. And I think that's about all I have to say. Oh, and one other thing, I'm sorry. For those fans that don't appreciate the contribution that JPP and Victor Cruz made, considering what those two men have been through, because I said if those two come back, they will have an impact. I'm not going to say you're a real Giants fan, but you need to realize JPP has been very disruptive on the D-line and had a huge impact. And Victor Cruz, like you said, he has been clutch. He's been one of the best third-down conversion and even a couple of fourth-down conversions. And yes, he did score the game-winning touchdown in the Cowboys game, which caused the Cowboys only loss.
Yep.
And that's all I got to say about that. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, Stephanie. Appreciate the phone call.
I know people are talking about the playoffs, and I like that the Giants fans are excited. But let's look at it. The Cleveland game, it's not a foregone conclusion, but we're going to say the Giants win the Cleveland game. After they win the Cleveland game, they're
8-3.
At that point, they got to find a way to carve out 2 to 3 games in order to make a difference. They got the Steelers, the Cowboys. Both at home, the Lions at home. Then they got to go to Philadelphia on a short week after the Lions, and they finish up with the Redskins in Washington.
Five difficult games with teams having records of .500 or better, by the way.
So basically you have in the final games, Steelers not so much. Are the Steelers leading the North?
I have to double check. Well, I know they're bunched together. I don't know if the Ravens or the Steelers are in front now.
Okay,
they're going to be
they're at the top. They're 1-2 in the division.
Baltimore is 5-5, tied with Pittsburgh at 5-5.
So you got leader of the North, leader of the NFC East, leader of the NFC North, and the Lions. They're leading the North.
Big game against the Vikings, by the way, tomorrow.
The Eagles, you know, I think Wentz is coming back to earth. And then you got the Redskins, who, you know, don't want to be behind us at all. So there's going to be some come to Jesus moments in these last these last five games to see where they're going to finish up and how they're going to finish up. So not discounting this week, they got to go out and win this game. Let's get Cleveland under the belt. Let's get Cleveland taken care of, and then let's start to figure out, okay, where we're going to win this next game. Because when you go to Pittsburgh, that's a tough game.
And a tough environment, too.
Yes, that's a tough game. It could be cold. It could be snowing. It could be a lot of things. Dallas here, everybody knows about that offensive line. We know that Dak is getting more and more confidence. He's actually
and
starting
running game, too.
Zeke's doing very well. The Lions, the good thing and the bad thing about the Lions is the Lions have been the same team that they've been forever. The bad thing is that they're just actually getting the breaks now. So they're coming from behind in the fourth quarter over and over. The Eagles – you would like to think the Wentz is still going to be in trouble, but their defense is still good. And then you got the crazy Washington Redskins. You don't know what team that's going to be when you see them that time of year.
Oh, they lit up the Green Bay Packers. I mean, the Packers have been decimated by injuries on defense. No one's saying they're going to do that every game, but their offense has been very productive over the course of this season. I don't think that's fluky at all.
Yeah, I mean their quarterback down there, he's down there screaming and yelling, giving hits to everybody, becoming, you know, memes on Twitter and stuff. But – we'll see. We got a long way to go. One thing at a time. Cleveland first. Let's go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and steal a statue. Let's get out of here.
You got to take care of the teams that you should beat.
Yeah, well,
that's what you need to do.
Bobby Bowden, the old coach of Florida State, says the tough games you find a way to win them. He says in the teams that you're supposed to beat, you make them get rid of their programs and give up their scholarships.
It's a good way to. It's a good way to lay things out, to use the analogy for the Giants. They're playing a team that's 0-11, number of issues all across the board. Hey, can't think of a better opportunity to
– this is a time for you to get some things healthy. Like I watched Alabama play the last couple games, and the whole thing has been about them being able to throw the ball, and there's this freshman, true freshman quarterback throwing the ball. What have they been doing the last two games? They've been throwing the ball. Everybody's touching it. I'm like, why are they throwing the ball so much? Because they said we can't throw it, so we're going to work on it while we can't. So it's going to be interesting.
I'm just happy we've now met our quota for analysis for the Alabama football program on Big Blue Kickoff Live.
We can now move forward. I haven't said anything about the St. Joe's Regional High School game yet, playing in the States
next
weekend.
That's coming up. That's a tease. Wait, don't waste all the good material on one program, Howard. We got to spread the wealth.
Next week I'll be talking about it big time.
Yes, I'm just glad we got the Alabama reference, the breakdown of their offense and their defensive scheme. We got the family.
We never talk about the defense of Alabama.
Oh, okay, excuse me. I'm sorry.
We never talk about Alabama.
Sorry, my apologies.
There's no words.
Tied program.
There's no words for that.
Well, there are words from our caller, hopefully. Let's head back to the lines. We got Mike in Oakland. Mike, what's happening?
Hey, guys. Great to be back on the show, man.
Well, great to have you. Thanks so much for making the call.
Hey, Mike. How we doing?
Good. Yeah, so good because, you know, I always say you can't turn a team around in 1 year with a couple free agent acquisitions. So I'm really happy about what we're getting out of the team. You know, it's I've got a lot of fun this year already and watching the boys. And one of the things that just killed me last year was all the lost close games. Like, that stuff just put me in, like, a three-day funk, you know, every game. So, you know, there are a lot of things. I hear a lot of other callers, and there are things that concern me. You know, the running game does worry me. And, you know, I'm not convinced our offense is this dynamic thing that we were looking for. But we're winning close games, and that makes me a happy man. And I'm happy to see about the defense. But I wanted to call for kind of two reasons. One was a little bit of a mea culpa. You know, beginning of the year, I called in and was pretty critical of Jerry Reese. And, you know, I just remember when he said, hey, you think my picks haven't been that good? Well, then, you know, I challenge you to go ahead and, you know, look into it. And, well, I looked into it, and, you know, a lot of his picks, you know, at a much higher rate than other GMs were not in the league in, you know, 3-4 years after the pick. And we hadn't got a lot out of the late round pick. So I kind of was jumping on the anti-Jerry bandwagon, but I got to say a couple things. One is I was a big fan of Olivier Vernon and loved what he did last year in Miami and really thought the guy could be a difference maker. Well, the Giants went out and got him. Honestly, our
a record with free agency. I didn't believe we were going to get him, but we did. And I think despite the low numbers of sacks, now we hear the guy's been playing with probably a broken hand, and he's healing up. And I think he's a heck of a player. And everything I read, he makes a big difference in the locker room. So good job right there. Second thing was I looked at all the numbers, Janoris Jenkins versus Prince Amukamara. You know, we drafted Prince. I like the guy. I didn't see a difference in the numbers. So I was, not convinced to give him that kind of money. Well, once again, Janoris has been, like, one of the best players on defense, and I'd say one of the, best cornerbacks in the league so far. So all the numbers I looked at, I was wrong. Janoris has made a huge difference. Snacks wasn't even on my radar. When we picked him up, I was just overjoyed. I couldn't believe it. That was huge. And then, one of my criticisms on Jerry is the late-round picks were not panning out. Well, Bobby Hart's playing pretty well at right tackle, seventh round. So I just want to give a little props to Jerry Reese because I was one of the ones, being pretty critical at the beginning of the season.
Well, with as far as the picks go and free agencies, it's a really weird world that you live in when you're doing this. When things work out, you're a genius. And when it doesn't work out, what are you doing? You're not smart enough to be doing your job. And I've tried to explain to people that over my history with the team, the Giants may have had, they'll have a great draft every 4 to 5 years. They'll have a great draft. They'll make a good playoff run, and then they'll go for a drought. I'm not going to name guys' names because it's not right. But over my career, since from 1989 through 2016, I bet if you can go through that whole thing and pick out five good drafts or six good drafts, that's 25 years or so of drafts. You'd be shocked at how many drafts aren't the greatest drafts in the world, or how many guys that you didn't think of that played forever. Like me, sixth round, at that time I was in the middle of the draft playing for 13 seasons. Jesse Armstead, sixth round pick, playing forever. You just don't know when you're picking the guys, you hope that they're going to be something great, but you just don't know sometimes.
Or undrafted guys that turn out to be somebody
Will
who's
Tye.
Being productive.
Victor Cruz. Absolutely. You don't, like I said, I remember when I talked to them about Victor Cruz, the joke was, they're like, yeah, the guy that we have here at with the Giants, like, yeah, he don't exist. Like, he wasn't at UMass. We don't know where this guy came from. So, you just don't, again, it's a really weird kind of hard thing to do, and I feel bad for GMs because, I was listening to some guys talk the other day where everybody's like, we need a quarterback. Yeah, but you need a team because Andrew Luck's a great quarterback.
He's got no offensive line.
Cleveland
could say the same thing.
Yeah.
If they brought in a young quarterback, too,
yeah,
nobody
you,
protect
you,
the young quarterback.
Look at the teams that are doing well right now. They've all invested. Like, well, suddenly the Raiders are good. Well, number one amount of salary cap devoted to offensive line.
Yep.
Giants doing better. Dallas doing better. Big investments in offensive line. At some point, some of these guys in the front office are going to see, like, that's a good place to put money. But so I just want to – I got to also admit that when Sterling Shepard, I called in and I said, like, good player, but his skill set's redundant because, both Victor Cruz and Odell can play in the slot. But I think, I think Shepard was a better player than I gave him credit for and more impactful. So, I just want to, give credit where credit's due, right?
Yep.
So, I hear you. It comes and goes, but it's hard to feel sorry for him when, he's got a great job and he's had, in my opinion, the greatest franchise in sports. So, but still, I'll give him credit what he does well. So the other thing I just want to throw out there is, Larry Donnell, I was kind of a big fan of his when he popped on the scene, and I liked the size. I liked some of his catching, catch radius, and was excited for him. But his hatred of contact, his fear of contact, has just become more and more obvious.
I thought you were going to go with the other way to word it is his love affair of going to the air as opposed to maybe his hatred of contact.
Well, because the contact is on the blocking side too. So this is what I'm gonna. Okay. This is what I want to hear you guys say, and then I'll jump off. But I don't think the fumble is what got him benched. I mean, if you look at the third quarter versus the Rams, when we're coming out of the end zone, and everybody says we always go three receiver sets. So how about going heavy, two tight end? Well, we went heavy, two tight end, and called a running play,
And there's six. I got my notes on it. 647.
And it was with Rashad Jennings, I think, was the runner, if I remember correctly, on that play.
It was Jennings. Yeah. And he, so basically, our offensive line block it up fine. Linebacker shoots the A-gap. Donald's right there. Instead of blocking, I mean, he gives him like a high five, right? I mean, he just completely lets the guy run through the gap. He tackles Jennings on the one-yard line. Donald goes 3 yards down the field and puts a hat on like a 180-pound cornerback. I mean, I reran that play like three times because I was trying to figure out, look, is there supposed to be somebody pulling? Is Will Tye supposed to pull from the right side and take that linebacker on? Is there a reason? And I just came up, but there's no excuse. He just ran away from the big guy and went after the little guy, and the big guy basically almost got a safety. So after that, you know, it's addition by subtraction. Even if these other guys don't catch as well as Donald, you can't have a guy on the field that you cannot count on him to block ever. And I'm sorry, Larry, but that's where I'm at with you, and I think that's why I got benched. Thanks for listening, guys.
Appreciate the phone call. Remember, there was also that play in the Vikings game when he met Anthony Barr. That was what gave him a concussion where he missed some time.
Well, I will say this. Anytime a tight end lines up in the backfield and they give you an assignment, and they point to Mike or Will or whoever that player is you got to block. If a lineman comes free, which means that someone up front may have missed him, and you can't run by him. So you're running through. The theory is you got to run through whoever's there to get to your guy. If you don't know that, if that's not drilled into your head, you will olay the guy to try to get to your guy because you're trying to make sure you get your assignment. When it comes back and people ask you later, like, well, I got my guy. Like, well, you ran by a guy. Like, yeah, but, you know, it's a hard thing to teach guys to do. I can remember the game. We played Pittsburgh had this humongous 300-pound middle linebacker. And they're like, okay, Howard, we're going to shift you into the backfield, and you're going to lead through the hole on Lavon Kirkland. I'm like, I'm going to do what?
You know, say that again, just so I get that.
I'm like, I want to make sure I get this right. You want me to be the lead blocker in a downhill play at a guy that weighs 300 pounds that has a running start at me? Okay, I'll try that. Well, why not?
What do I got to lose?
I'm like, sorry, wait a minute. I got to step over the legs of the guys in front of me because they're going to be like, oh, and I'm 6'6". Let me figure this out. All right, this is not going to be good. I'll try it, though. So you have to learn how to do things that you're not necessarily doing. And I know that they say, like, oh, they do it all the time. They've been practicing it. It looks good in practice, but when all those bodies and legs and –
it's convoluted.
Yeah, and you start, like, going – and if you see a guy flash, if you don't know that flash means he's free, it's – and I'm not making an excuse for him. It's a lot to learn. From, you know, fullbacks and backs, they're special. They got eyesight. You know, the best backs, they always talk about a back's vision. Tight ends don't have that vision – when their body's like right here, and you're kind of and you're like, especially a guy who didn't grow up playing football. So that's a, you know, I feel bad for him, but there's no selling and
or
saving that.
Who also played quarterback too in college. Yeah. Wasn't even a tight end for that long of a time. Was making a transition. Yeah.
To figure that out is one of the hardest things to do. I mean, it's tough. I think people like, think about, like I tell people, like, you know, football 101. The hardest thing to do when you're first starting out with football is teach everybody who to block, how to get them to, this is your guy, okay? But what play is it? Don't matter. That's your guy. You block that guy. And it's funny to see how, oh, that guy came free. No, don't worry about him. Block him. So it goes from that to
teaching. To now you're responsible for the other guy in route to getting to your guy.
Like, you have to grow up into it and to learn it. It's a tough thing. Football is its own language sometimes, and it's hard for guys.
Different jargon. Now, before we wrap up, I just want to know how it went against Kirkland. You left that out.
It went okay.
It went okay. Well, you lived to see it,
because,
so that's good.
Because in theory, when he saw me coming through the hole, he was like, why in the heck are they putting that big-ass tight end back there?
Oh, so you gave him the intimidating factor.
We talked about it after the game. He goes, I looked up, and I'm like, why is Cross in the backfield? He's like, I was thinking, he's going to kill me. He's like, I couldn't get through the hole because you fill the whole hole when you're coming through. I'm like, I was thinking the same thing. He goes like, yep. So we kept running into each other.
Kept canceling each other out. Like,
yeah, it was just funny. It's a strange thing. Well, that was one of the first years to do that.
However you get the job done. With that being said, we appreciate all the phone calls. We'll try to get a little bit more response to Twitter off the air, but we do thank those of you who tuned in via social media as well as on the phones. Big Blue Kickoff Live with you each and every weekday, every week, Monday through Friday, noon to 1 p.m. Eastern. However, tomorrow is Thanksgiving, so we
Happy
will not have a program. Happy Thanksgiving to every Giants fan out there, as well as your loved ones. Friday show will be back, normally scheduled time at noon. We'll continue to get you set for the Cleveland Browns.
Everyone.
To everybody,
yes.
Correct. We don't need to classify.
Easy,
well said.
Easy there, dude.
With that being said, for Howard Cross, I'm Lance Meadow. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. Have a happy Thanksgiving right here on Giants.com.